Off the Ball, GAA.
He's been uncanny ability to turn that into a positive. So I can absolutely see why, from a vibe sense alone, appointment like Andy Moran is good for Mayo football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster women's rugby. Never stop competing.
This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us today, 0879 180 180. Just some from the panel. You could walk through Temple Bar and not know there's a hurling match in Croke Park. We're absolutely terrible at marketing our games, says Sean in Dublin. You don't like the Viking clap at rugby with flames shooting up? I disagree, says Joe in Galway. And it's only half time for the new Gaelic football rules. Let's see how the new rules work out in the club championships, which is the real test, says Pat in Mayo. Now, road trip reruns doing nothing at all. There's an ice coffee for every kind of weekend, whatever your weekend vibe. Find it at Braeburn Coffee, only at Apple Green. Spurs have beaten Manchester City by 2-0 in the Premier League. Johnson and Palinha with the goals. Also results in the Championship: Charlton 0, Leicester 1, Hull 0, Blackburn Rovers 3, and Swansea 1, Watford 1. In the rugby today, Women's World Cup Pool A, Australia 73 points, Samoa 0. Ireland play their first game against Japan at Franklin's Gardens in Northampton tomorrow from noon. And on the line to look ahead to the tournament is Alison Miller, former Irish international winger. How are you, Alison?
Good, how are you, John?
Yeah, good, thanks. You won a Six Nations Grand Slam in 13, Alison. Then you were at the World Cup the following year. You scored a try against New Zealand when we beat them. We were in the semi-finals. You scored a try against England. Was the World Cup a bigger thing than the Six Nations?
I suppose for me, I feel it was, because I suppose it came from an athletic background and you always want to test yourself at the world level. But I suppose if you were to end your career never having won a title, which, you know, won a Grand Slam, you won a Six Nations 2015, it's great to have titles, but I wouldn't have liked to have two or three Grand Slams and then never have got to a semi-final in a World Cup. But 2014 was obviously amazing to knock out New Zealand in the World Cup, but essentially it was just a pool game and we finished fourth. And for me, even though it was seen as a success for me, my lasting memories of that World Cup are a disappointment, because we finished fourth and we didn't beat France in the third, fourth place playoff, which would have been nice to have got our last game as a win, you know, and beat France. We only lost them by, I think it was a try, and there was a lot of rivalry between us and the Six Nations. So for me, yeah, it's a, you know, it is the pinnacle. But at the other side, if you have never won a title and we'd only come fourth, I don't know, it's a hard question to answer in terms of, it depends on the success you've had as well. Like, to win those, the 2013 Grand Slam led on to that success in 2014. But it should be the pinnacle. Like, I mean, we talked with the men's team, a lot of people disagree with me, I'd nearly rather to forgo, you know, a Six Nations title to finally get to a semi-final and then they can progress on. Because if you've never done that, you can't go on to the next step. So, yeah, when I look back 2014, you know, great to score against New Zealand. It was an upset that in the women's game is quite rare. But for me, lasting memories of disappointment in a way too, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. We got Japan, Spain and New Zealand in our group for this tournament. So we've gone on a mad journey, Alison, because after your success in 13-14, we had this decline. We had an absolute nadir of losing to Spain, not even getting to the last World Cup. Now we're back to fifth in the world. So how have we turned it around?
I suppose we've talked about this probably at length over the last while. After 2014 World Cup, we had Anthony Eddy and David Usfora came in and I suppose change things, and look, it's very obvious, and I played sevens and I love sevens, but the focus was, you know, on sevens, and I suppose 15 was neglected to the point of 10 years of neglect is going to do that to a team. You know, in 2014 there probably would have been more resources, even though it wasn't professional. You know, it was done really well, really, really good management team. They did everything very well, professional, but from then on it would have been focus on sevens, to the neglect of 15s, unfortunately. And then there was other things too. We have a really good team now, full of sevens players that play sevens as well. But back probably in 2021, they would have been less exposed to the 15s game. So from now, those sevens players have had 5 years playing 15s and learning, you know, positional differences, the nuances of the game, their role in the game, how they link in with forwards. So there's a few, obviously we have central contracts, that's huge. You know, if you're training professionally every day, you're going to improve. Look, that's the end of it. I saw that in the Sevens program, people who trained every day, you do get better. You're professional at it. You're not having to balance your job and all the demands of those things. And we have a very good NTS system where young girls are targeted and I suppose their talent is identified, and then they're working their, you know, their hubs to improve their rugby. So there are a few different reasons. I think the focus is back on 15s now, the famous letter. Really good coaching, you know, professional coaches in there. I know they've had a bit of upset with coaches leaving, but the quality of coaching is very good, and there's some very good players there that have been playing since they're quite young, and standard of players is up. But it's a combination of different things. So how we got from being there to coming back up the ladder, essentially.
So what a success then for Ireland in this tournament.
Definitely to get to a quarter final. I think the team would be disappointed if they didn't get to a quarter final. I think depends who they draw in that quarter final. I think bonus territory to get to a semi final. That would be, I think the team internally would be disappointed not to get to a quarter final. I'd be disappointed if they didn't get to a quarter final. I think they have I won't say a nice group, but it's, you know, it's a reasonable group. But Japan, Spain, and then obviously New Zealand are tough. But you know, it's very different to 2014 when we just had three pools and you had to win all your games or else you were kind of a goner, unless you were the next best loser. So, yeah, success is getting to a quarter final and then bonus territory when you're there.
So for those of us who might have a passing interest in the World Cup, which will a lot of us be watching now over the next few weeks, Alison, who are the Irish players to watch out for? Who could be our stars?
Well, like, it would be very obvious to say Parsons and Amy Lee Costigan because they're your speedsters, but I think Stacey Flood is very, very important to our team to release those wingers, and her distribution and her kicking game is going to be really vital for the team, because we probably haven't seen yet the evolution of our wingers to get off their wing and go looking for the ball. So her distribution, her kicking game, we've changed that under Scott Beaman. We have probably going more like the men's game where we kick a lot, and obviously Linda Dugang is really important. Probably don't have a natural replacement for her, and Dan O'Brien would be very, very critical and crucial for our chances because she's the standout 10, and there's probably not a natural replacement for her. Our back row is obviously very important with the injuries to Aaron King, Aoife Wafer, Dorothy Wall as well. So you know, Adele McMahon as co-captain, Sam Monaghan. So I suppose that's to name a few, but those players will be vital to our success.
Aoife Wafer might be back for the New Zealand game. She was the Six Nations player of the tournament. Why is she held in such high regard, and is she like a big difference maker for us if she does get fit?
Oh yeah, she's huge. She has such a good temperament for a girl her age. She's a big game player. She's a physical, so physical. The meters she gets after contact are huge. Her ability to put people on the ground and to win that contact. She's so aggressive. She just beats defenders, and you know, she has taken us out of a lot of really difficult defensive situations in the past where you're looking at the game, you're like, oh, we're very skinny out wide, the other team are about to move the ball, we're vulnerable, and then she comes up with a big turnover and we're safe, and we've navigated our way out of a very difficult defensive system with her ability to turn over a ball. So you know, she's been crucial for Ireland to get out of sticky situations in the past. Everyone in the world knows her, you know, even if they didn't know her name back in the day, it was the girl with the red scrum cap. So, and then even that, you know, they were trying to target her and she got better and better, even though they were targeting her. So then often when you're targeting somebody, it kind of leaves some space for somebody else. So when she's not playing, but they're not targeting her. But yeah, she is like our player that gets over that gain line and just gets huge meters. And if she doesn't beat the defender, she put two or three on the ground, opening up space for others. You know, so simple, but it's so effective.
What style of play can we expect from Ireland, and what style of play would you like to see? Are they both aligned?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, under Scott Beaman, they've drastically improved. It's nothing revolutionary. They've really improved their basics from where they were in the past. You know, their line out has improved so much. Their breakdown work, their defence. They have a much better kicking game. In the past, we saw a frantic Ireland who would try to do everything all at once and didn't have that patience to, you know, play too much rugby in their own half. Now we have a kicking game, you know, which isn't perfect. We sometimes, you know, probably kick too much against Canada, but we're going to be playing Japan, who are going to be, they're always going to be a very fit team. They won't be overly physical. I expect Ireland to be much more a physical team, but they are very quick, very fit, very fast. They'll be very quick to the defensive breakdown. They're highly skillful. They will be organised. You know, they've got some threats out there. But for Ireland, it's, you know, having that right balance and just, you know, having that patience in the game, you know, to go through the multi-phase, to dominate Japan physically, because we should be beating them physically. And then, you know, we can't go... We've seen Ireland in the past where they'll just try and go wide, wide, wide too early and, like, really simple. But, you know, we got to dominate the collisions, and then, you know, we can use our multi-phase and get the ball to our wingers, which are, you know, they can be anyone in the world one-on-one, and they're a huge threat to have those, I suppose, that X factor out there.
Yes.
But, you know, we've improved massively. Like, we kick much more than we did. We exit a lot better. You know, our ability, like, it's not anything, as I said, too revolutionary. It's the ability to defend them all. You know, our lining drive-up maul is really good now. Like, sometimes we do get, you know, a little bit one-out carries, but I think probably maybe what I'd like to see a little bit more, maybe a little bit more deception and attack. Maybe we'll see that maybe that's kind of some growth that we haven't seen yet. But, you know, we've got the players there. I know, obviously, we've had our injuries and, you know, that's frustrating. But I'd like to see just Ireland being patient. We don't have to beat Japan in the first 20 minutes. They'll come out, they're fit. They'll, you know, look, we've beaten them 6 out of 7 times we've played them. They're 11th, ranked 11th in the world. We're 5th. They had no wins at the 2021 World Cup. Now, they've had a good 2025. They've had 5 wins, but bet Spain twice at home. So, but I just think physically we should be, you know, dominating them and dominating the collisions. I think our set piece is going to be very important. We've got a good scrum, we've got a good line-out, and we can launch from then there and use our threats across the field.
Yeah, so on the basis that we are confident we can beat Japan and Spain, who are ranked 13th next week, it comes down to New Zealand then, and then potentially France, if we lose to New Zealand in a quarter-final. But New Zealand, we beat them last year. Can we take New Zealand? Can we take France? Are we capable of beating these teams?
New Zealand are a very hard team to read in the World Cup. They just seem to have a really good World Cup record. Like, you know, England were favourites in the last World Cup, and yet New Zealand win the World Cup. They've had a lot of girls kind of come back. There would have been girls playing rugby league that are back into the squad. Portia Woodman's back out of retirement. Georgia Miller, who won a gold in the Olympics there during the summer, is in. So... And they don't play a lot of rugby, so it's kind of hard to tell where they're at till you see them, you know, kicking off. And Ireland obviously had a great win against them, but they probably didn't play their best rugby at times. So interesting to see where they are. But, you know, Ireland won't obviously be afraid. And I think if you look at France, Ireland won't be afraid of France. Now, France are the most frustrating team in women's rugby because they are capable of beating. I think they're capable of beating England. They have the skill set, the physicality, you know, the flair, everything they need. Yet they could be so average on one day, and then, like in the Six Nations, they started really slow but came back to score, you know, the last 3 or 4 tries in the last 20 minutes and only lost England by 1 point. So Ireland played quite well against them in the Six Nations. I don't think Ireland will be, you know, afraid of them. Played well against them. If you can frustrate France, you know, and be physically, I suppose, suffocate them in defence, they won't be afraid of France, even though they are a very good team, depending on that old cliche, whatever France turn up, you know,
yeah,
and how they deal with the pressure. It's going to be a very, very different World Cup for these players than they've ever experienced.
Why?
Just because, I suppose, there's going to be crowds like we've never seen before at women's game, at this Women's World Cup, you know. They won't have been used to the scrutiny of the media, probably haven't played against or played in front of like 40,000 plus, you know, supporters. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams deal with the pressure, deal with the, you know, fan base, who rises to. It's a tough time, a World Cup. It's highly pressurized, different landscape now, you know, with social media. And there's a lot of talk about growing the game through women's game through social media and getting to know personalities like Ilona Maher, but then at the other side of it is there's that negative side of social media. So it's interesting to see if players will stay off social media, but yeah, a lot of pressure with it, and see which teams as a very, it's an unusual landscape in that you've got fully professional teams, some fully professional teams contracted. You've got Canada, who are, like, you know, up there, really good, but they crowdfunded 1 million to get to this World Cup. And you've got, like, teams that are not professional. So it's quite, look, that's women's sport, and credit to England for pushing the barriers, and it's made every other team step up. But teams are, you know, in different spaces and places, I suppose, and how they deal with pressure, and is going to be really interesting, I think, that hasn't, we wouldn't have seen at the last World Cups at all.
Yeah, England have won 58 games in a row now after beating the USA last night. The final's a sellout. Should they be winning this?
It's theirs to lose. I mean, they have to win it. I watched them against the USA last night, and they're just, you know, so dominant, and that's, they could put out a different team then the next day. They have that depth. They have, you know, the standout star in the tournament, Ellie Kildon, at 15. If anyone wants to look at the try she scored last night, she kind of volleyed it off her knee. Oh, it's just an unbelievable try. Just, I would urge people to check it out. But they have, you know, quality. Like, and then for England, I think what other teams don't have, just come off the bench, you know, the front row, to come off the pitch at 50, 55 minutes and put on just the same quality front row or the same quality backline. Not many teams have that ability. So, but as I said, New Zealand then in World Cups turn up, and they are kind of unknown because we don't play as much as England. Girls coming in from sevens. So they could raise their game, but I really think it's such an advantage for England to be playing at home.
Yeah.
When we played, like, I struggled mentally probably 2014 World Cup. We were in Marcoussi. Look, we had a great team bond and that kept me going, but it was quite isolated in terms of where we were. Where in Dublin, you had my own car, you could go off for an hour, get away, whatever it is. So it's a huge advantage for these England players to have their family, have friends, have their own cars, get away. It's a huge advantage for them. It's pressure. It's huge pressure also. But I think, I just think, you know, it's kind of no good having 28, whatever, unbeaten streak if you don't do the job and don't win the World Cup now. Yeah. Like that, you know, that's not good enough for a team at this level. And
yeah.
You know, you have a player like Emily Scarrett that doesn't even start anymore. Like, that's the quality that they are. And they have such a varied ability on their team to, you know, physicality in the forwards, you know, their ability to maul, but then the skill level in the backs, and even their forwards have huge skill level and mobility and speed. So it's theirs to lose. And I think if they don't win, you know, obviously as an Irish person, the England-Ireland rivalry, but in a way, like, I kind of like to see them winning it, because just for what they do for women's rugby, like, they have done for women's rugby what no other country has done. They've made other teams be forced into contracts, their premiership, and the final is already sold out, you know, 80,000 at a women's rugby final, and we don't even know who's in it yet. Obviously, we expect England to be in it. So in a way, you'd like to see them getting the reward for what they've done, because then I suppose it lets other teams, or New Zealand, maybe, like, they don't have to do the same. They don't, if they don't win, maybe they'll have to do more themselves, and other teams will have to do more themselves. But look, they are the standard bearers, and have pushed the game onto where, like, I wouldn't have imagined ever that there'd be 80,000 people at a World Cup final. And it's not just the families anymore. It's, you know, it's actual spectators that are, you know, buying tickets like the men's game for, you know, a day out, and it's huge crowds going. And if we look at it from an Irish perspective, it's so close to being a home World Cup. So we have huge support going over, and Irish people living over there.
Can we do ourselves justice? I mean, that's the key thing, I suppose, just finally, Alison, can we do ourselves justice over there?
Yeah, I think we can. I think, look, as I said, the pressure, I'm just going to be interested to see how they perform. But I think very good coaching ticket. I know Hugh Hogan, the defence coach, left in May, and now they have James Graybrook, is it? So their defence looked kind of problematic at times during the warm-up game. So if they can kind of, I suppose, I don't know if they're using quite different, I think they're kind of keeping it similar enough, but like, for players to change defensive coach that late on into a World Cup cycle was kind of disappointing. But they have huge expectations. They're talking the game, and look, it's set up for them to get to a quarter final, and for them, that is, I suppose, the minimum. I think they think they'll they could get to a semi-final. So,
yeah.
Look, they should be beating Japan, should be beating Spain, and then, you know, whatever happens against New Zealand, and hopefully we get Wafer back, and hopefully we see maybe a standout star that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
But, look, it's going to be a great tournament for everyone watching, you know.
Okay, Alison Miller, ex-Ireland star. Thanks so much for coming on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk.
No bother, John. Have a good day.